Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach your throne, Lord, in this part of the service when we deem for the word to come forth. We ask for your anointing, Father, and your guidance through the scriptures. This message that you've placed on our heart today to be able to be a help to the people, Lord, instructing, dear God, and enlightening. And I pray, dear God, a message, Lord, of deliverance, dear Lord, and we ever give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I want to continue on speaking on the spirit of the last days. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Amen. You may be seated. Earnestly contending for the faith, Brother Branham says, watch those spirits, how they begin to move. It's the spirit of anything that does the work of it anyhow. People have to be in this kind of a spirit to bring the latter days. The people's in the spirit of the latter days. The nations are in the spirit of the end time. They've got atomic weapons and hydrogen weapons and all kinds of things because it's the spirit of the day. The people are in the spirit of the end time. The church is moving together under the power and impact of the Holy Spirit, and the world's running out yonder, making fun, scoffing, laughing. They're living like the devil in every day. It's in the spirit of the thing. God's getting ready to take his, and the devil's getting ready to take his. Why is many of these things happen? It's the spirit of the last days. And it is striking to me the things that it mentions here in this in the text that we read, that we, if you look at that and then look at the way things are today, as you can see these things coming to pass in the life in life story in 1950 in Cleveland, Ohio. Brother Ram says, I've always had my opinion of a cigarette smoking woman, and I haven't changed it. That's right. It's the lowest thing a woman ever done. That's right. So if you see them sitting in a place, the other day I started to holler fire. Right here in the city, a woman sitting there smoking, coming out all over her like that, and a poor little baby laying in her arms. And I thought, you want that baby's eyes being ashtrays? God never give you that baby for that purpose. Your duty is to raise it right. And women, listen here. Take my advice. If you do smoke, oh, in Jesus' name, forget about it. Don't never do that. That's an awful thing. Don't sow that, for I know if this spirit bothers me, I don't get up and go out. Everybody will know you're guilty. Now, I know one thing. If this angel of the Lord comes from God, as I know it does, you'll certainly answer at the day of judgment for doing it. We're in the spirit of the latter days. People are heady and high-minded. You can't tell them nothing. They know it all. They won't stop and listen to human reasoning. I find that to be so true. You try to even speak on a level what you think would be common sense to people, and you can't reason with them. It's like trying to reason with a drunk. You ain't going to get nowhere. And when they think they know it all, no more, you know, I know that it seems like teens always go through that age where they think mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. But it seems to be even more prevalent now within the schools of things that where the youth of today, they know it all. And they won't listen to, you can get them to sit while you talk, but it just goes in one ear and out the other. They aren't hearing you. They ain't listening. And they'll just tell you what they think you want to hear just so they can get this over with. The Ram says in the questions and answers COD book, we've got to get in the spirit of the latter days when the last days are here. You go to a dance hall, you got to get in the spirit of dancing or you won't dance. You go to church, you got to get in the spirit of worship before you can worship. The world's got to get in the spirit of the last days before the last days can come. Now, we realize that as mortals, all of us were motivated by one thing or another. You wouldn't do anything if you weren't motivated somehow by something to do it. And there's different things that motivate different people in different ways. But we know there's two spirits of motivation today. We preached on that some time ago, back toward the summer. And these spirits are motivating people and anointing them for this last day, because there's scripture to be fulfilled. There's scripture that the elect has to fulfill, and there's scripture that the world has to fulfill. And so they're both, on both sides, they're being motivated to fulfill these things. They're being motivated to and anointed by a spirit of the last days, whether it's the spirit of God for these last days or to combat all these things that we read in the text of these last days, or whether it's the spirit of the devil that's motivating them. Sometimes we don't feel like going about our regular routine, but something in us says you got to do it anyway. And so you're motivated, just go ahead and do it anyway, whether you felt like doing it or not. You know, it's got to be done. Some, you don't always feel like going to work, but you got to. And so you're motivated by something to get up and go anyhow. Same thing with going to church. Sometimes you get tired, you get wore out, sometimes you don't feel like going to church. But there's something in you that motivates you to go anyhow. And you go to the house of God. Now, Satan has different administrations, and so does God. Different ways that he anoints people or motivates them. There are some people that are motivated to go to church, but they're motivated to hear a denominational understanding of the word. And they wouldn't miss church for nothing. They're faithful, and they believe that you ought to go to church. And they wouldn't stay home for nothing. Then they're being anointed by a spirit of Satan to go to assemble or unify. But then there's another administration of Satan where he anoints people where they hate church. They wouldn't go to church for nothing in the world. They don't want nothing to do with church. They maybe get drunk on Saturday and hung over on Sunday, and Sunday's their recoup day, you know, and to get ready for Monday morning. And that's how their life goes from one week to the next. And it's a different administration of Satan, but it's out of the same kingdom. It's still an anointing of Satan. Now, there's a motivation of the bride, the elect people, and they're motivated by the divine spirit of God, and which is the spirit of God that's dealing with the elect or the in the full revelation of God's word. Then you've got the foolish virgin. They are motivated by also the Spirit of God. They love the Lord, and they're saved. But they're in the categories of pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. And their motivation is from a different administration of the kingdom of God. You look at people's lives and look at what's the characteristic of the spirit that's motivating them, and you can tell something about the individual, what they're being motivated by. And there's some people that they go to church sporadically. They listen to tapes sporadically. They pray sporadically, read their Bible sporadically. In other words, they ain't got no consistency of nothing. Except, and they go to church. And they give their tithing. And they're in the message church. But that's as far as they go. And that's not enough. Say, are you living right, brother? Well, does that matter? Sure it matters. Just going to a message church isn't good enough. Brother Bram says in investments, says, it's the spirit of the last days. Want to confess and hold your confession. I'm this, I'm Pentecost, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist. Still hold to that, live any way you want to. It's that way people saying, oh, I'm a message believer. And live any way they want to. I'm not talking about, you know, somebody saying I'm a message believer and they hit the bar every Friday night. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they say they're a message believer, but their life doesn't line up with what the prophet said. A big one, and you hear me say it so often, the big one is people who say they believe this message and won't even go to church. Now, I know there's a movement, or had been a movement among people not going to church. They believed you wouldn't, that according to the message, what they believed, you weren't supposed to go to church anymore. The bride had come out of the church. But there is also a move of people that are professing that you asked them, do you believe this message? And you couldn't tell any difference from them and anybody else out walked on the street. And yet they'll say, yeah, I believe the message. And some of them will even tell you, I've got the books at home on my shelf. I believe Brother Branham. Of course, then you got the motivation and the spirit of people leaving the message and seeing, trying to see how much ill they can speak of it. Some of them is your own families. We've got to watch, beware of the spirit of complacency. That means to a feeling of contentment or self-satisfaction accompanied with an unawareness of danger. A spirit of complacency. Well, I'm okay. I go to Brother Jerry's church. I'm okay. There ain't many people saying that. But people say, you say, where do you go to church at? Oh, I go to Brother Donnie Reagan's. Big deal. That's not what's gonna make the difference. It ain't where you go to church. Other than going to church where God has led you and placed you to be. But being able to come under subjection to the word that's being preached, to come in line with it. Not be rocked to sleep with complacency. Spiritual lullaby. You know, Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples would ask, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered them and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, they're not coming saying necessarily right out, I'm Christ, but what they're saying is, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. And you've got people that are claiming this, they don't have a call to preach at all, but they claim to have an anointing to straighten the preacher out. And I don't know that we have so much trouble with it here in this congregation, but there's other places where they got women preachers. You say in the message? Yeah. Not right out like it is in the denominations, you know, because in the denominations, they teach them that's all right. But you got women saying, well, I'm more spiritual than my husband. My husband's real carnal. I'm the more spiritual one. That ain't the way God leads the home. And it ain't the way God leads the church. I've had it before where some woman would come to tell me or correct me on something I preach. God ain't going to do that. That's not his way. For many shall come in my name saying I am Christ or anointed and shall deceive many. And God identified by his characteristics, Brother Branham said, I might drop a little something here. Jesus said in Matthew 24th chapter, in the day, last days, the two spirits would be so close till it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Now that's just like looking at a right hand and a left hand. They both got thumbs, fingers, nails, small finger, middle finger, so forth, index, all different fingers. They both have thumbprints. One's just turned one way and the other way. Both the same print, made the same way, the thumbprints, everything is identical like. The only difference is the characteristic of it. One is a left hand and one's a right hand. That's the only difference. And that's just the way the spirits will be in the last days. Just the characteristic of it will detect whether it is of God or not. One of them will be right and the other will be wrong. You'll only know it by the characteristic of God. Just perfectly, it'll have to be that way. But the right hand we'd say is right, and the left hand we'd say is wrong, or vice versa, one of them. And they're determined by their characteristics. And you see what he's saying? He's saying the spirits will be so close that it'll be like a left and a right hand. And the only difference, they're the same. The only difference is a characteristic of one being a left and the other being a right. What that tells me is that the two spirits that are alike, it's not going to be between us and some denominational church. That it's going to be right in amongst people that are all professing the same thing. To believe the message. To believe God did send a prophet. But my thing is, the characteristic of it is, what is their emphasis on? What was Brother Branham's emphasis on? Was it on himself? He never emphasized himself. He always projected Christ. He never said, this is me doing this. Many times you say, now, whatever he told you, talking about that angel that would speak through him, whatever he told you. God's provided a place of worship. Jesus said in St. John 4, the time is coming and now is when God, being a spirit, will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Now some people have spirit and no truth. And others have truth and no spirit. So which one of them groups is okay? Neither one. Said one's got spirit and no truth. The other's got truth, but no spirit. Truth, but dead as a doornail. And he gives this example then. He says, so it's like we had a Cadillac, and two Cadillacs are made just alike, and you push them out here to the tanks and fill them both up with gasoline. You crank and crank on one. Well, you look out and you say, the seat's all right. The steering wheel's pretty. It's plush. It sets pretty. And you sit back and go to sleep, and a lot of things you could do each one. All of them has to have the right mechanics. But all of them has the right mechanics, but one of them has the dynamics. You see, you might know the mechanics, but it takes the dynamics to start off the mechanics to make them work. So it isn't enough just to say, I've got the truth. There's got to be the spirit is what brings life. So speaking of the spirit of the last days, as I said, there's two spirits. In order for you to be brought to life, you have to be under the anointing of this Holy Spirit. Amen? Then that'll fire off. The car will start up, is what Brother Branham's saying. God identifying himself, he says, that's the way the spirits are in the last days. They're somewhat alike, but they have a characteristic that identifies them. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Ram says, I want to say this. I believe, too, the Bible said in the last days there'll be a famine in the land. But the famine won't be for bread and water, but for hearing the true word of God. And people will run from east, from west, from north and south, seeking to hear the word of God. Oh, they're hearing message terminology. They may even be listening to the tapes. Somebody's picking and choosing the tapes. And then take 45 minutes to tell you what you should be hearing on that tape. It's a famine for hearing the true word of God. Why, I tell you, it's sticky, isn't it? So close. His word testifies in the last days there will come a falling away, and there would come up a cold, formal, powerless church age. That's what we're living in, a church that had no power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. He says this, and why people are so tossed about. The Bible said in the last days there'd come a famine on the earth, not for bread or water alone, but for the hearing of the true word of God. And people will go from east to west and everywhere trying to find it. That hour is here. That hour is here when men are putting themselves up like gods and wanting to be glorified. But people say, oh, Dr. So-and-so and Big So-and-so. That's the way God looks at it anyway. That's what Brother Brown says, how God looks at it. They're putting themselves up to be like gods. Oh, Paul said, I have one fear. And that is, except you would try to worship me instead of the thing I'm preaching. I never come to you with enchanting words of men's wisdom, but in the power and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that your hopes will be built on that. Brother Branham, what is Brother Branham saying when he's quoting this from what Paul said? He's emphasizing that he's afraid people will start worshiping him rather than the word that he's bringing. And friends, that's happened. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence. They say that the bubonic plague killed about 30 million people. But AIDS has killed almost 100 million people. Brother Branham spoke in one place. I'll read it to you, because I find that this is a real paradigm. Some Brother Branham spoke about when he went to Africa, that he didn't find one case of venereal disease. And Brother Branham linked this to a higher spiritual morality. But today, they lead, the continent of Africa leads the whole world in sexual transmitted diseases and AIDS. The majority of AIDS. So not only has America fallen, not only has Europe fallen, but Africa has fallen since the time Brother Branham spoke of it. Basic fellowship. He said, now if she's married, before she can be married, she has to be tested, her virginity. If she's found guilty, she has to tell the man that done it, and they both killed together. What if they do that in Hollywood or Los Angeles or over in the United States tonight? There'd be a lot of killing done. No nightlife in Africa like that. They live higher, cleaner, morally than we do and call ourselves Christians. Yes, sir, if that girl's found guilty, if a woman there found guilty of running or dishonoring to her husband, she's killed right there with a man that lives with her. Yes, sir, there's no immoral among them. I've never, in all the discernment cases, never found one case of venereal disease among them. That's right, not any of them. I found TB and other things, even leprosy, but no immorals, any venereal. And you see how that's changed. He was talking about this in 1961. And you see how that's changed today. The whole world, friends, is under the spirit of the latter days. Because in the spirit of the latter days, it said, pestilence shall come. He says again, is your life worthy? This is 1963. I know the heathens down in Africa amongst my dark brethren down there. I find the morals of them people higher than 90% of the American people. They could come and teach the people that call themselves church members how to live clean. Never found one case of venereal in the whole trip through South Africa. They don't have such a thing. There you are. It's our own dirty, filthy ways as white people. That's right, got away from God. I want to go back to Matthew 24, verse 7. For the nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. So that's just the beginning of sorrows, not the end of sorrows. And God has so timed these things to where we've got the wars and the famine, plagues, and earthquakes. Now we've got tsunamis and all these things. that are going on. What is it? It's telling us what day we're living in. We're living in the last days. And the people are under the anointing of one spirit or other. And these spirits motivate you. You realize you need to look sometime what you're being motivated to do. And if you look and see what you're being motivated to do, you'll see. Because friends, look, you say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost. But friends, your flesh didn't get it. And it wasn't your spirit realm that got it. It was your soul. And this flesh realm and that spirit realm, they still in contact with this world, with this earth. And that's where you're going to have to combat the devil at. That's where you're in your mind is where you're going to have to battle against the spirit of Satan in these latter days and the anointing that he brings upon the people. Then the sixth seal will open. The two prophets, Elijah and Moses, will step out on the scene with power over the earth and the elements. Which, coinciding with the atomic explosion Brother Bram spoke of, it'll set this earth back on its axis right. End time sign and seed, Brother Bram says. We see a roar in the paper, across television, out across the nations, where five stars just fell in line with the world. What's five? A number of grace. Every time those stars come in, something happens on earth. What taking place? Five stars fell in. What was it? An introducing of what? Since they just look what's taking place. Germany almost washed off the map. Some of the magi said the world would burst like a watermelon. Every distressed thing prophesied by them for the last days. Look what's taking place. England the other day had a storm that blew away 70,000 houses on one day. Disasters everywhere. California, Los Angeles, like the Washington Ocean. What is it? The beginning of sorrows. What is the beginning of sorrows? Is this earth having birth pains? It's this earth having birth pains, which is a joyous time if you're in the bride. Romans 8:22 said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Revelation 21:1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Brother Branham says, in the message of birth pains. Now, if we have a new earth, the old earth and the new earth cannot exist at the same time. The new world, the old world cannot exist at the same time. There can't be two world orders together at the same time. Now, in order to get the new earth, the old one has to die. Now, if the old one has to die, then it's giving birth pains for a new one now. So that's what all these storms and earthquakes and tsunamis and all these things are. What is it? It's the earth groaning in travail. Birth pains. Getting ready to give birth to the new earth. Christ was born under three stars. And then took 30 years to get ready. This bride, what Brother Branham was pointing at, was the astronomical sign the bride was born under was these five stars. How many years will it take us to get ready? From when Brother Branham talked about that, the astronomical aligning of those five stars and the birth of the bride, it's been 57 years since then. Matthew 24. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now, after the beginning of sorrows, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. People get in church and they get offended. Then they start finding fault. They start scrutinizing things. They start being critical. Why? Because they got offended. Some people get offended and leave. You know, it's something to me when they leave. They never can say, look, the truth is he preached on me, and he got on me, and I just can't measure up, and so I left. They never say that. They always have some other excuse why they left. And that excuse has nothing to do with themselves. It always has to do with somebody else. Never take credit for their own actions. In other words, well, I quit going to church because of so-and-so. I'll tell you what, I've got people here that won't come to church because of me. There is people that have quit going to this church because of me. At least that's their excuse. You have no idea how that makes you feel when you know it ain't true. But what it is, it's them. The problem's not here. The problem's with them. That's why they left. That's why they won't come. You always know, everybody's always looking for an excuse. And usually, they'll put a human name to their excuse. Well, brother so-and-so offends me. I've said this. How's it going to be when they stand there on a day? Because friends, look, if they don't get over that and get in church and get right with God and get filled with the Holy Ghost, they ain't going in the rapture. That's the bottom line. Unless they get in here and get filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to be left behind, and they'll come up at the white throne judgment. And when they come up at the white throne judgment with the excuse of, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so in the church offended me, how's that going to stand up? Now, we're a small church, and unfortunately, we don't have any deacons right now at this time. But there are times when we had a deacon, people got offended at the deacon. I've seen it in other churches. People get offended at the deacon because the deacon has to come over and tell them, look, you need to take care of your child. I ain't talking about no crying baby. I'm talking about children that's 9 and 10 years old ought to know better and acting up in church, and the deacon's got to say something about it. And then they get offended to him. Well, I ain't going back. It's the spirit of the last days. To be offended. To get offended. It's a spirit. They're under an anointing for this last day. They're being motivated by a spirit. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I don't ever want to see that in our midst, do you? And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." "You shall know them by their fruit," he said. So it's fruit. It's expecting the fruit. What's the fruit that they're bearing? And the Bible says to try the spirits, see whether they're of God or not. Jesus spoke of false Christs and false prophets arising, showing signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The Bible tells us, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And you know, you don't try the spirit by saying, "Well, you know, I just feel a little funny about him." That ain't trying the spirit. That might just turn out to be your imagination. "I feel a little funny about her." That might just be your imagination. That might just be the devil trying to bring a wedge in there between you and another believer. You don't try the spirits by your feelings. You try them by the word. You don't try them by your imagination. You try it by the word. Try means to scrutinize. I've had people, I guess, want to know whether I'm real or not. And over the years, I've had some people try me by what they thought a pastor ought to be. And I've had them try me by preachers they've known in the past and how they were as pastors and whether I was like them or not. That ain't how you try a pastor to see if he's of God or not. You try him by the word. I've had people in my past that when I was young, I felt real good about them. Then they turned out to be flashers and homosexuals. And what all else? You've no doubt had people you thought, "Well, they're it. He's it," you know. Then you come to find out, nope, he wasn't. That ain't how you try the spirits. Disobedient to parents. Children in this last day, living under an anointing of this last spirit, your young people are going to have to combat this spirit of the enemy in this last day, because this spirit's going to be able to anoint them to be disobedient. When you young people, when you see that on you, realize what's anointing you or motivating you in that way, because the Spirit of God would anoint you for your life to line up with the word, which is to be obedient to your parents and to honor your parents, and your days will be long. Isn't that what it says? Long life. It's the only commandment with promise. What are you going to do about it? Hold up the word to them. Satan's holding up everything he can in front of them, shaking everything he can in front of them. Don't be ashamed to hold up the word to them, because that's their only hope, is the word. I was just reading where, and heard in the news, many of y'all have no doubt heard it, three teenagers up in New York City in a park, went to rob a young 18-year-old college student, and they went to rob her, and they stabbed her several times with a knife. She died. And they've caught two of the boys. They're still after the third one, which the third boy, they say, is the one that did the stabbing. They haven't caught him yet. But the other two were 13 and 14 years old. 13 and 14 years old and being motivated to murder. If they can learn to murder at 13 and 14 years old, don't question when they say they want to be baptized. If they can understand one thing, they can understand the other. What is it to take a knife and kill somebody? They said the knife had like a 4-inch blade on it. It was just a fold-up knife. They got the knife in custody, and they're checking fingerprints and DNA. They stabbed her several times. What is it? The spirit of this last day. Motivating them. Another example of this motivating of youth. We can see if we speak of Hitler's youth. Hitler took them 13, 14, 15 years old and indoctrinated them with the beliefs of the Third Reich. And toward the end of the war, there's many of them that gave their lives for it because that's what they'd been taught, to defend the fatherland. Brainwashed them by drilling and holding it before them. Satan's doing the same thing with youth today. But God's got a youth. And they're anointed by the Spirit of God for this last day. And they want to go to church. They want to go to special meetings. They want to go to when there's a youth retreat or youth meetings. They want to go. Thank God. It's always a blessing when you see young people wanting to serve God, wanting to do something for the Lord. And it shows what spirit of this last day, the anointing, what's motivating them, the Spirit of God. Amen. Two spirits of anointing in these last days, the spirit of the last days. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, Lord, as the word has went forth. We ask you to water it, dear God. Lord, I pray, Father, for our young people, Lord. We don't have many, but they're just as important. Lord, if we had 700 of them, they're all important, dear God. Lord, I pray for our young people, Lord, that you will help them in this end time of combating this anointing of Satan in these last days to bring disruption and disunity, Lord, in the church, and to bring disobedience and all these things that your word spoke of concerning this last day. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lord, we're at war. We're in a battle here. And it's always good to identify the enemy. It's always good to identify what's what is motivating us? Know that it's the Spirit of God. Bless your people today, I pray, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name.